Welcome to the Akashic Reading Podcast, presented by AkashicReading.com, the place where you can learn to access your soul's wisdom, or at least stop digging the hole any deeper. I'm your host, Terry Uktena, and today we'll be talking about how to read a person's practical energy field, how to discern what that is versus other energy fields people commonly see or look for, and what it all means. When talking about reading people's energy, most are referring to auras, the colorful light field emanated from the body like an aurora borealis. The auric field is beautiful to watch. It's full of color and often movement as we interact with ourselves, each other, and our environment. It's the physical manifestation of our emotions and the Akashic energy our soul is encoding with wisdom in any given moment. This energy can be seen both physically and translated into visual images in the mind's eye. Through Kirlian photography or various apps, people can see images of auras in real time. This can be mesmerizing and yet confusing as we've become illiterate when it comes to emotions in general and our emotional interactions in particular. It's not uncommon for people to see an image of their aura and, instead of being a uniform color which matches their rational experience of their mood of the moment, they have varieties of colors throughout their body. Bubbles of energy can separate and float away while the shape of their auric field expands and contracts in various areas, seemingly without any synchronization. This field is rarely speaking from an eternal point of view or indicating our true nature, but instead, as emotions do, is showing us a rich, intricate dance full of change in each moment. There's another field which people sometimes connect with when working energy, and this is called manifested time. We rarely experience time as a field. Instead, we're taught to think of time as directional. The past is behind us, the future in front, and the now is each moment as we experience it, as if we're measuring our life via the ticks on a measuring tape. However, as trauma and PTSD teach us, time isn't necessarily a ribbon which unspools smoothly. A moment in time can get stuck in our now and replay over and over like Groundhog's Day, or disconnect from the chain, becoming disassociated from the rest of our reality. Time is fungible when working in conjunction with our emotions, so can speed up when we're enjoying ourselves or engaged in something engrossing, but stretch out infinitely when we're needing something to end. Time is not only something we experience or conceptualize, it's one of the fundamental dimensions of embodiment. Like light is both a wave and a particle, so time is both flowing through us and a field anchoring us in embodied life. This can be seen visually as an electric blue field which hugs us like a second skin. Similar to our involuntary physical processes, the time field is not wildly reactive, but instead holds steady unless something disrupts or impacts it. The color is fairly radiant, slightly darker in recessed spots or near bones, and lighter as it extends away from us. It's unusual for people to see this field on embodied beings, although it does happen at times. Usually, this is because the person has opened their perceptions too wide, and as they are attempting to focus in on what's pertinent for their work, they tune into this level of energy in passing. Where knowledge of this energy field is most interesting is when it's seen without any connection to an embodied being. Some people notice blue ovals, dancing blue balls of light, a shimmer of blue radiating off an object on one side, a handprint or other mark glowing blue for a moment, and other such anomalies. These are caused by non-corporeal beings interfacing with embodied life in real time. The most common of these is our guides. In order to be present for us, to help us manifest, hear messages, create synchronicities, and so on, they come as close as possible to the embodied state by interacting with linear time. This leaves what amounts to a time print or electric blue image which can be perceived. Other beings, such as elementals, guardians of place, other people's guides, and those beings who work most closely in the embodied sphere, emanate time this way. For those who chance upon this frequency, it can be alarming to see how many beings are passing through a room or building in any given moment. The act of tuning in can also attract the attention of beings, somewhat like waving your arms over your head in a crowd of people. Heads will turn, people will give inquiring looks, and some might turn to see what's needed or meant. This can be alarming at first, but is relatively harmless if a bit socially awkward. Just tune out of the energy again, and everything will go back to what we perceive as normal. When attempting to problem-solve things, such as finding the cause of self-sabotage, determining if someone or something is interfering with our lives, or to see how we're managing and processing life in general, it's helpful to look just a bit deeper than either of these fields. The Akashic or Pranic or Chi level of energy is what I refer to as the practical energy field. It's the energy we take in both from the universe and the physical world, sometimes called earth energy, in order to manifest both ourselves and anything else we want to create. Think of this field more like an energetic manufacturing process. Raw material comes in one door and then passes through one room after another, being transformed, one change at a time, until a final product goes out the opposite door. In this way, a thought can become a vocalization, an emotion, a gesture, or a glance. Information can become a decision, which leads to a purchase, trip, career, marriage, painting, quilt, car, or even child. Of course, at any point, something can go wrong and delay the manifestation process, send things shooting out a metaphorical window, or have them melt down completely, making them less than useful or even in need of removal. Hence, unlike auras and manifested time, this field does not often show as a color or glow around the body. Each part of the manifesting process is unique, and the practical energy field reflects this. In fact, the field generally displays in six main areas of focus: back and front, left and right, and top and bottom. With the front versus the back of the practical energy field, it can help to remember we are front-facing beings. Our eyes are in the front of our head, not on stalks at the top. Our face and limbs are situated in such a way that most of what we focus on is in the front of us. We either situate ourselves so we're facing what we want to interact with, or pull it to the front of us. What we want to put away for later, we arrange in the back. When looking at our energy in the front of our body, it's usually bright, in motion, and highly interactive with our internal processes as well as the external world. When we think of healing, making progress on ourselves and our lives, or manifesting something new, this is where the energy will show most readily and be responsive to support. The back of us often looks dark, stark, and stagnant. This is because it's a place of storage, both energetically and physically. Backpacks, wallets, purses all end up on the back side of us until we pull them around so we can access them. We do this with manifestation as well. I call this the "I'll think about that tomorrow" process. What we want to stuff down, deal with later, or even avoid, we shunt to the back of ourselves. It then gets stored in our neck, shoulders, mid and lower back, the sacrum, glutes, back of our thighs, and very much the calves. This is in part why massage therapists learn to expect emotional responses from their clients, which can seem disconnected from the massage process. As they're manipulating the muscles on the backside of our body, they can inadvertently release some of our stored energy, which then processes emotions and memories out of sync with our current day. It's also why most negative energy attacks happen in the back. We store things in the back of us which cause fear, which are painful and have the potential to make us vulnerable, then turn our attention away from them. This converts our back into a portal where we can be accessed without our knowledge or direct consent. Energy connections, which are vampiric in nature, will be in the back, usually in our shoulder or upper back area. Predators who work to keep us confused and off balance will fill our back with fog and dark energies. Old lovers who don't want to let go may hook into us in our sacrum, or we might avoid processing old hurts by letting energy leak out the small of our back, not realizing this affects all of our manifesting actions, like water softening the foundation of our house and creating black mold. The right and left of the practical energy field reflect the personal versus public sides of our lives. The right side of our energy field is all about what we put out into the world. It's about work product, following through for our friends and family when they need us, getting out to do the things we're interested in, and showing up for the external world. Our left side is about what we get back from the world. It's about being supported by friends, family, and community. About having a place in the world where we belong, having a partner or not, feeling we're a piece of divinity and connected to the web of all that is. It's normal for people to be working differently with their left and right sides. Often the left is dimmer than the right because in Western culture, we don't highly value self-care. We're encouraged to minimize what we need personally for the bigger picture or a goal or an expectation or. It's not uncommon for the left leg to seem dead or just there because we've given up on trying to find our tribe or our place. The left arm can show as welded in place if we're surviving a negative relationship, covered in a thick cast if we want to avoid relationships, as having a filter over it when we're attempting to screen out the bad ones. Often the right-hand side is either bright and fully functional or in the process of burning out from so much doing. The right foot can show as floating above something when we aren't grounded or are trying to avoid a situation. Our right side can present as larger than our left when we're pushing tremendous amounts of energy through it in order to get things done. Or it can show as pushing a spike of energy into the ground when we're trying our utmost to ground something into reality against its and or our will. These left-right disparities can negatively affect us in any and all areas of our life and in our body, but they show up most often in the hips and shoulders. If we're overly focused on output, it can seem as if we're shouldering a huge burden, but our left shoulder is frozen or unable to join in. If we're trying to protect our personal selves from the world, our left shoulder can freeze, thereby limiting our range of motion. Our right hip can get overly worked or become so tight it yanks our spine and sacrum out of place. Our left hip can wear out from staying still and being the support for all the work our right side is doing. And then there's the top and bottom, which speak most directly about how we are or are not manifesting things in our lives. The top half of us holds the energy centers where we find inspiration, think things through or overthink them, feel what is right to do, and speak our truth. The bottom half is where we take all of this and convert it into action. It's where we feel what is right for us, experience our truth, act on our inspiration or don't, and connect or interconnect with the world around us to make ourselves and our desires a reality. It's not uncommon for people who struggle to manifest showing marked differences in their practical energy from the waist up versus the waist down. Their top may be clear, bright, and colorful, but the lower half can be dark, as if the lights have turned off, have dark or black spots where specific issues are located, or even leak dark negative energy, like black paint pouring out. Difficulties with relationships may show in dark spots in the hip area. Low self-esteem might be signaled by an intrusion in the belly. Overly engaged survival mechanisms might be reflected in angry red threads spreading throughout the lower half. When checking this aspect of the practical energy field, it's helpful to look at both halves without expectations or assumptions. While someone might be having difficulties making decisions about things, and we associate this with intellectual processes, which would be in the upper half, most decisions are made in the lower half after all the thinking, considering, fact-gathering, and risk evaluation is done. We don't brain our way into a decision. We gut or pelvis our way into it. Which is why sometimes we find we've already made a decision even though our brain hadn't caught up to this yet. We can find ourselves acting on a decision we've already made or refusing to act on a decision our brain is adamant we follow through with. The practical energy field has not only detailed information about how we're manifesting or being manifested into life each day, week, and year, but also the wisdom of how to improve the process, move through the lessons we're stuck in, and resolve what is holding us back from our full potential. Are you ready to tune in? And that's all the time we have this week. If you're interested in knowing more, check out my website, akashicreading.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting it by subscribing on Patreon. You can find all my offerings and get regular updates about what I'm working on at patreon.com/TerryUchtena. Thanks. Bye.